This oral history is brought to you with the support of Guttman students and staff and funded by the American Council of Learned Societies and the Mellon Foundation. Enjoy.
My name is Tajay, and I'm interviewing Shonda in Manhattan on May 15th, 2020. Do you give me permission to record and make this oral history public?
Yes.
Okay. Reminder, you do not have to answer any question that makes you uncomfortable. So please share as much basic information as you're willing to share. Name?
Shonda Alexander.
Age?
53.
Occupation?
I own my own juice bar.
Neighborhood?
Manhattan, Harlem.
Place of origin?
Harlem.
First language?
English.
Ethnic identity?
African American.
Gender identity?
Female.
Sexual orientation?
Married.
Okay. Are you and your family from NYC? If not, tell me how you and your family ended up in New York City.
I was born and raised in Harlem.
That includes like your mother?
My mother is from Brooklyn. My father is from Virginia.
Okay. Oh, I think both of them. Okay. So how do you get around in the city?
I take and drive.
All right, and how even though you drive, I'm assuming that you took the train once or twice before, right? Or the bus, maybe?
Yes.
How would you describe your experience on public transportation?
I don't like it.
Why?
Because the people, we have a lot of people that's got mental issues, and they ride the train.
Yeah. So, do you have any wild stories from being on a public transportation system in New York City?
No.
No? Okay. And do you feel safe in your community?
Yes.
Okay. And what would or does make your community safe?
The people, because I've lived in this neighborhood for over 40 years.
That's a lot. Mm-hmm. How does law enforcement fit into your vision of safety in NYC?
Well, I own a juice bar in my neighborhood. So they come to the juice bar, and I know a couple of them.
Okay. And how does concern for safety in your community shift how that community functions? Like, how does the safety in your community, like, how's the relationship with that? Yeah. Okay, so what's it like living in a city that has people from all over the world?
It's nice.
So, how have you benefited from NYC diversity?
Well, it's a good feeling, like, by them being diverse, I get to learn where they from, they get to learn where I'm from. So,
would you consider NYC generally in your neighborhoods specifically to be racially segregated, meaning not diverse?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay. Why or why not?
Because we have Africans, we have the French, we have Chinese, we have Jamaican, all in this community.
Okay. What have been your experiences with the NYC public education system as a student, parent, or an observer?
Well, from now, this point, I think that they don't teach our kids enough about they background and stuff.
Do you feel like more was taught in your generation about our background?
Yes.
Okay. Why do you say that?
Because it was teachers that kid.
Okay. So, have you experienced segregation either in either all one ethnic group or having an ethnic group missing in the school system when you went to school?
I didn't understand that.
Say that again.
So, basically, have you ever experienced segregation either all one ethnic group or having an ethnic group missing in the school system? Like, what was your experience like as, like, a child in school?
Well, my mother, she moved out to Long Island. So, it was, like, a little bit of racism going on out there.
Okay. And if so, what do you think are the consequences of that segregation?
You just know who is who, and you don't be around that way.
Okay. So, basically, New Yorkers are known for some certain personality traits. What personality traits do you think New Yorkers are known for?
Staying up late. Partying.
Got it. Anything else?
Hustle and bustling.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, housing. Again, you don't have to answer any question that makes you uncomfortable. How well do you know your neighbors and the people in your community? And you answered that before.
Because I've been living in this building over 20 years.
Yeah. And do you have any, like, public support systems in your community?
Yes.
What are they?
Well, it's different people that I can go to get support. Mm. We got different business owners that I can get support from. We got the precinct. Mm-hmm. That I can get support from.
So the help is both from the government and from the community, I guess you can say? Or just from the law and from the community?
Through the community.
Okay. So, and also, are there others you know about that aren't available in your community? So what support systems do you want to be available in your community that aren't available currently right now?
Centers for kids.
Okay. Anything else?
And things for, like, the elderly.
Okay. There's a lack of, like, elderly home or, like, elder homes?
No, it's a lack of where the elderlies can get the youth to help them pick up groceries, help them do things like that.
Okay. So basically assistance to the elderly.
Yes.
Okay. So what does good housing mean to you in terms of neighborhood, space in the apartment, public spaces and area, food and area, safety, transportation, neighborhood resources, affirming my identity? So, your identity.
So, good housing, to me, you gotta have good space.
Okay.
It gotta be good people around you to keep your community up. Okay. You can't have people that just come into your community and tear your community down.
Okay. throughout the years, have you ever experienced that in the past?
Yes.
Okay. How did you deal with that?
I told them that I live around here, and they are not going to tear down my community.
Okay. And have you ever been worried about not being able to afford rent?
Yes.
Okay. If so, can you explain the experience? Again, you don't have to answer if you don't want to.
You know, it was sometimes that I could not make my rent. So I had to go to public assistance to assist me.
Okay. And what have the impacts of gentrification in community and of the community dislocation on your neighborhood?
Say that again.
What have the impacts of gentrification, just basically what impacts have gentrification have on your neighborhood?
It's a big impact and whatnot, but change is good for me.
For you?
Yeah.
Why you say that?
Because I see which way it's going, so it makes me go harder. And when I say harder, work harder.
Mm-hmm. Since you're a business owner and gentrification is coming to the community, do you personally feel like it's sort of maybe trying to push you out of the community in a way? Like the bigger companies is trying to take up like your space, if you get what I'm trying to say?
Yes. No, because my space is in a block. And I got my space at a time where rent wasn't so crazy. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Some of these places, the rent is crazy.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Okay. So you just got to fit in. You got to get in where you fit in at.
Okay. And how do you feel about homelessness, the homelessness crisis in NYC?
It's terrible. And we really need, like, to have a place where they can go. Because it's not only homelessness, it's mental illness.
Do you think that, back to the question I asked you before, do you think that there's, like, back to the question I asked you before earlier about there being, like, support systems in the community, do you think that supports them, or maybe, like, one of the support systems in the community is, like, deal with homelessness or mental illness, like you said before?
Yeah, we have it in the community. We have a clinic right next door to us. They deal with mental illness. Mm-hmm. But it's a lure. If they don't want to take their medicine, they don't have to take their medicine. So it's lures.
Okay. And what do you see as the cause for homelessness?
Drugs. Mm-hmm. And sometimes rent is too high for people.
Okay. And also, what should society and the government do to basically help this crisis?
They should come up with a plan for mental illness.
What plan exactly?
Like, talk to them, find out, you know what I'm saying? House them from off the streets. Mm-hmm. It's a place called Wards Allen.
What is that?
That's like, it's a clinic for mental ill people. Oh. It's over on 120, you go over 125th Street,
mm-hmm.
And it's a big building and whatnot. I don't even know if that's open anymore, but it was a place over there.
Okay. So the next set of questions I ask you is gonna have to do with the Black Lives Matter protest. You don't have to answer any of these questions if it makes you uncomfortable again. So how do you feel about the Black Lives Matter protest?
All lives matter. Not just Black Lives Matter. All lives matter.
Okay, so explain to me how you think these anti-racist protests erupted particularly strongly in NYC.
Say that again.
So basically explain to me how you feel. How do you think basically the protest, the Black Lives Matter protest, was created? Like, why do you think it was created? How, what caused it basically in New York City? Because New York City is basically the place that in New York City, Black Lives Matter, you can see on the news, it's usually always in New York City.
Because they was killing so many black young men and black men.
Mm.
So that's how I think that became.
Okay. So, and what do you think activated protesting black Americans and their non-black allies to challenge, quote, structural racism in the United States?
Because they got tired of it. They got tired of their sons and their kids being killed.
Okay. Do you have any stories you're willing to share about the encounters you had with racism?
No. I seen it, but I didn't see it in New York.
So you never seen racism in New York before?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Yeah, I never experienced it.
Okay. And have you in the past have any negative encounters with the police?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How was that, like?
How was that? They arrested me by someone's word. And I went through the system, but I went to court like 3 times and they threw it out.
Did that is negative experience that you had with that police officer, did that shape like the way you view police officers in the future? Because that negative experience that you had with the law enforcement,
it just told me that anybody can say someone did something and they will take their word.
Okay.
So it just made me smarter and wiser.
Okay. And how has your pink, and how about the way race and racism put in policing is covered in the media? So how do you think like about the way the racism is covered like in the news or on social media? What do you have to say about that?
The news, that's their job. To make it seem worse than what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to portray it to be so, so bad.
So do you think that the news tell the truth or they tell like the exaggerated truth?
They tell the exaggerated truth.
Okay. So how about and do you think any changes should be made with the way the NYPD operates given the events of the last 2 years?
Yes.
What changes?
They need to really clean up these corners.
Can you further explain?
Like, you have guys on the corners just doing what they want to do. You know what I'm saying? Selling drugs, just hanging out on the corners. And they need to clean up these corners.
Do you feel that there's a way to go about it? Like, I know you said that in the past, somebody said something about you and that got you arrested. Do you think that there's a certain way to go about arresting these people or maybe taking action for the NYPD to take action against them?
Yeah.
What is the way?
I think that if you come in the community and you learn the people that's in the community, you can handle it a certain way.
Okay. So, were you active in the protest at all, in the digital or in-person way, over the last 2 years? So, was you present, like, in the protest, or maybe you was online and digitally saw it?
I seen it on TV, but I didn't go out there and protest.
Okay. So, why did you decide not to get involved?
Because it's dangerous. It was arresting people, and I wasn't willing to stand up there and get involved in that.
Okay. So, the next section of questions have to do with COVID-19. And again, if you don't feel comfortable answering the questions, you don't have to answer them. So, how has your life changed financially since COVID-19?
It slowed down with my financials.
How were the working conditions at your workplace before COVID?
It was good. You know?
Like, what was the shift in your workplace since March 2020?
So, we used to open up from 8 to 8. Now, we open up from 8 to 6.
Why do you guys do that now?
Because of the COVID. Now, it done lift up a little bit, but you never know. If someone, it gets dark at a certain time, you never know if anybody gonna come in there and rob you, or, you know, you got a lot of mental illness people on the streets. So I'd rather not jeopardize myself or the workers.
Okay. So we already established that your work life changed due to COVID-19. So, how did your personal life change since COVID-19?
It makes me, my personal life now, it makes me go harder. It makes me think about different things that I can create for another money exchange.
Okay. And are there any new hobbies you're taking up?
Yes. I want to do training. Mm-hmm. Like, train people, give them, like, nutritionists. I want to do nutritionists and stuff like that.
Okay. So, and since you also have new hobbies that you're taking up, do you have old hobbies that you lost interest in due to COVID-19?
No.
No? So all the hobbies that you had before, it's still the same?
Yes.
Okay. And how have your relationships changed with your friends, neighbors, or family due to COVID-19?
It really haven't.
Okay. So, how has COVID-19 impacted your health and the health of your family?
you know, it really, some of my family members got sick, but since I'm in the health field, as far as with juices and stuff like that, I, you know what I'm saying? I have C-mores. I have different things to get them back on track, so.
Okay. So you're saying that your business basically helps people?
Yes.
Okay. And also, what, if any, were the benefits to your life from the 2-ish years in quarantine? So what benefits did the 2 years that we had in quarantine, did it benefit your life anyway?
Yes.
How?
It made me sit back and think of what can I create for people with COVID and stuff to get them better and keep their immune system up.
Okay. Is there anything that you learned about yourself or your family during this time period?
Yeah. That you still have to hustle. Still gotta hustle.
Okay. So, finishing up, is there anything I should have asked or anything that you'd like to add?
No.
Okay. Are you still comfortable making this oral history public?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. And have...